Residents of Lansing's East Side are assessing their choices for next Tuesday's city council election. They will choose between challenger Shelley Davis Milock and the first ward incumbent who joins us now. Jody Washington was first elected to city council 4 years ago. She has said her biggest political accomplishment so far has been to unite what she has described as a fractured first ward. She's described her top priorities in order: public safety, roads and infrastructure, and economic development. Interestingly, Washington's son Adam Hussein is also a candidate for city council in Lansing's third ward. Recently, mother and son have both been targets of a dark money organization, Capital Region Progress. Jody Washington, welcome back to Current State.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
One term wasn't enough.
No.
You just take a licking and keep on ticking. Is that it? Why do you want back on the city council?
I want back on city council because in the first ward, we have made tremendous strides in the past 4 years. And it's not, and I take credit for an awful lot of that, for being able to unite neighborhoods, different levels of government. I meet privately with the developers and business owners, and I put an awful lot of work into it. We've come a long way in 4 years, and I would like 4 more years to have it go even further.
You've identified public safety as your top priority, and it was about a year ago the website Law Street Media digested all the latest FBI crime statistics and found Lansing was the 8th most violent city in the country among cities with a population under 200,000, and we want to clarify that it also found out that the city's murder rate was down significantly.
Right.
So it was this mixed bag of data. We cracked the top 10, but murder was down at the same time. What's your take on violent crime and the prevention of violent crime in Lansing?
Well, I think that we could tackle this on so many levels, but I do have to believe that violent crime is up. I will tell you, even at the beginning of this summer, I was leaving my mother's home. She lives in the southwest side of Lansing, and a young man had the nerve to open my car door and tell me, "I'm not the one. I will beat you down." So I have to believe if it's happening to me, it's happening to other people. So I would say it's multifaceted. We have to make sure that we have all of our police officers filled and funded. We have to have the boots on the ground. It's not good enough to have the data that when people call in that we show hot spots, because we have cultures where people don't call the police. We have a lot of refugees that come from countries where police are not trusted, and they don't know the language here. And I think we have to work with our youth. We have to work with our police department, and we have to work with our schools closely to put a lid on this. And of course, the proliferation of heroin and other drug issues isn't helping.
Does something really profound need to change regarding public safety? Or do you think all the pieces are in place to do this well? What do you think of the job Chief Yankowski is doing?
Oh, I think he does a phenomenal job.
Okay.
I really do.
Okay.
With the tools that he has, I think he does a phenomenal job. And I think we have a phenomenal police force. I think we need more police officers. Technology is great, but it will never replace seeing the police officer on the street.
How does that happen? How do we get more police on the street?
Well, we will have to fund them, but I think we also need to have more community police officers that are specific to specific neighborhoods. Chief Yankowski is real big on that. And I know in the neighborhoods where I have had effective CPOs, it has done a tremendous amount of good. We have one in the Northtown neighborhood. We've had them in the Baker Denora neighborhood, Kalamazoo corridor. And it really does make a profound difference because the people get used to seeing that officer. Mm-hmm. They trust that officer, and they're more apt to go to that officer.
One of the most memorable stories I ever did here at WKAR was really getting to know the community police officer, and I'm going to blank on his name because it was a few years ago, but it was in the Walnut neighborhood. And I mean, there is a challenged neighborhood, one that's right, undergone a lot of changes over the years, and just getting to know this guy and learning about his relationship with everybody who lived in the Walnut neighborhood, it's arguably, I think, a very good thing.
I do too.
Your son, Adam Hussein, who is a candidate in the third ward, was on the program last week, and he complained that there are just too many liquor stores, too many marijuana dispensaries in that ward. Are there too many of those businesses on the northeast side?
There are beginning to be, yes. I notice every day there are more marijuana shops popping up. Now, understand, I'm not necessarily against dispensaries, but I want them to be done legally and responsibly. And I think to just pop one up every other day is not legal, nor is it responsible. We have an ordinance in place. The ordinance needs to be followed. These places need to be licensed, audited, inspected. We need to make sure that our product is safe for the patients that need the product. But to have them just popping up anywhere at any time is it's too much, and they are beginning to overrun the city again.
But does the Lansing police have the resources to really address this issue and to keep it from getting worse?
No. And I will say why. Because I believe we have an administration that has turned a blind eye to the proliferation of the marijuana shops. And if you don't have the support of the administration, what are the police officers to do? Why would you go in there and constantly raid these places if nobody's going to send it to the prosecutor? Their time and efforts are better spent somewhere else.
Now, does that approach have support elsewhere on the council? You said the administration. Is it the mayor and the administration likes that approach? Mm-hmm. Does your
council would like the ordinance to be followed?
Okay. We're talking with Jody Washington, who is a First Ward candidate, the incumbent in the First Ward, a candidate for Lansing City Council. A dark money organization, Capital Region Progress, is stirring the pot in this election with mailers and attack ads against you and Adam Hussein, your son and Third Ward candidate. What do you think the impact has been of this?
For me, I don't think there's been any impact. I think there's been quite an impact in the Third Ward, and I think they overplayed their hand and it actually backfired on them.
How so? What do you mean by that?
People
exactly?
are tired of this. People are tired of this manipulation and inferring that people are stupid and would fall for this kind of nonsense. Let me tell you, Mark, this is exactly why I didn't seek the chamber endorsement this year. And I wrote them in my letter stating that my head was still reeling from these tactics from 4 years ago and 2 years ago, and that until I saw something different, I would not be seeking their endorsement. And although they say they are not a part of this dark money. In 2011, I do believe the chamber said that although they are not a part of it, it is a means for their members to contribute to this type of activity. Mm. I find that reprehensible. This is tearing at the very fabric of our community, and I think it makes an absolute mockery of our democratic process in this city.
You suggested in an interview last week that you were close to learning the identities of a few individuals
yes.
in Capital Region Progress.
Yes.
Have you gotten anywhere with that?
I will actually have these conversations with these individuals after the election, and I will tell you, Mark.
You've learned of people in Capital
yes.
Region Progress.
Who are funneling money. To this. And understand, too, that Capital Region Progress also, this EPIC group is also part of that.
Yeah.
And they go through all these different names.
This is the place that apparently with an office on Lake Lansing
correct.
Road.
Correct. And it's an empty building. Apparently,
right.
Capital Region Progress had been kicked out of there a few months ago, but they use it for mailing, and now they call it EPIC. I mean, this is just an absolute disgrace to our community.
Are you prepared to identify the people who were contributing to this?
No.
Okay.
No.
Are you prepared to say whether Mayor Bernero is directly involved?
I will tell you that business owners have said that he has asked them to please fund this organization. He will tell you that he is not involved in it, and he's absolutely right. He's not. He has other people fund it.
What are you going to do with – you're going to have conversations with people who are contributing to
yes,
Capital Region Progress. Where do you think this is going to go?
You know, I'm hoping at some point that some people will develop a moral compass and that they will stand up and say, I'm tired of being bullied. I'm tired of contributing to this. Let's move this region forward. Mark, this does nothing for our region.
People are being bullied to contribute
absolutely.
To Capital Region Progress?
Absolutely. Absolutely. People are bullied in this community to do a lot of things. And like I said, it doesn't move us forward. We need to work regionally, but when you have groups and people funneling money and people bullying and attacking individuals and attacking groups, I mean, for crying out loud, Deb Nolan got attacked. She's a county commissioner. 4 years ago, we had Derek Quinney, Carol Wood, Brian Jeffries. It does nothing to move us forward, because when these people are elected, some of them are not going to be able to just put it aside. And Does that help regionalism? Does that help the business community? Does that help us move forward? I don't think it does. Mm. Let's start acting like a world-class city, like we want to call ourselves.
You alluded to the city's heroin challenges here. Yes. We are contending with a surge in heroin-related deaths and overdoses this year, and Chief Yankowski at one point went so far as to call it an epidemic. I think he might have walked back that epidemic comment, if I remember correctly. But, I mean, about 4 weeks ago, there were, according to LPD, five people who were stricken by heroin overdoses the same day, mind you. Mm-hmm. I believe it was Friday the 25th of September. Two of these suspected heroin overdose victims died. What role does city government play in improving this situation, and what should be done?
Well, Mark, most people that know me know that I have a brother that died of a heroin overdose 10 years ago.
I did not know that. I'm sorry to hear that.
So this is deeply personal, and it can affect any family, any socioeconomic group, and it tears the entire family apart. And when it tears the family apart, it tears the community apart. And as a city, I'm not sure there is a whole lot we can do. We can perhaps do a needle exchange program because, as I said, my brother, he died of a heroin overdose, but he also had hepatitis C from dirty needles. He would have eventually died of that. I think we need to collaborate multi-level, city, county, state. The city can't do anything on its own. I would like to see, however, that if addicts do come forward and ask for help, that they not be treated as criminals. That they're a victim. They're a victim of people that are trying to make a profit. Doctors who are overprescribing opiates, drug dealers that are just trying to make a living. I view them as victims. And I think it's actually a state issue. And I read yesterday where Governor Snyder is coming up with some initiatives to deal with the heroin epidemic, and I will call it an epidemic. Mm. It's out of control, and it's something we need to fund. We need to deal with the cultural issues that these people are wrapped up in. I mean, you have to remember their friends, their entire culture is wrapped into the heroin. There are so many levels to this issue that need to be addressed.
Let's change gears here. We don't have much time left. What would be your number one action item right now with regard to the Board of Water and Light? I mean, we've seen all kinds of changes there. What else, when you think of the Lansing Board of Water and Light, what issue do you think of first that requires more action?
Well, Vince Delgado and I led the charge on trying to fund an independent operational audit of the Board of Water and Light, which I thought would have been a really good idea. People were asking for it. The mayor had asked for an inspector general. We felt an independent audit. Monday night, that pretty much got derailed, and the money will be going elsewhere. So I think we just need to keep a really close look as a council and the administration on what is going on operationally with the Board of Water and Light. But, Mark, I'm going to be really frank, I think they're doing a really good job. And I think they've done everything we've asked them to do, and we just need to keep a close eye.
We want to point out to our listeners that five of the six Lansing City Council candidates have been interviewed now on Current State. Interviews with Emily Devendorf, Patricia Spitzley, Carol Wood, Harold Lehman Jr., Adam Hussein, and Shelley Davis Milock all can be found online at WKAR.org. Please follow the links to Current State. Incumbent Aileen Bowles has declined Current State's repeated requests for an interview, saying her schedule does not allow enough time. We want to thank Jody Washington and wish you luck next Tuesday.
Thank you so much.